Always.
Yeah.
And then
as I said, East Asian interpretation of Nirvana is perfect rest.
Yeah.
Perfect rest. All the samskaras are quiet. Samskaropashama, they say in Sanskrit. It's peace. Yes. And yesterday we talked about Abhidharma, and we'll do some more. But I told you Abhidharma has two meanings, depending on Abhi. Abhi. If you abbreviate Indian word, Sanskrit word, Pali word, you do like this with this small circle, like that. That means abbreviation. In English, we put dot there. Yes? But in Sanskrit, there's this small thing. One should be very careful about transcriptions and writing and things, you know. But I just tell you, because the first thing a teacher looks at normally is transcriptions, footnotes, bibliography. If all this is correct, then maybe the content is also very carefully thought over, you know. But if transcriptions are not careful, one time like this, another time like that, something like that, then we get impression that maybe this person is not very diligent. Maybe the contents of the work was also not very trustworthy. So if you are formally correct, like transcriptions, do everything according to the rules, then we get the impression that this person is trustworthy. We should read what this person has to say. So transcriptions are very important. And one should have an official one, always the same one. For Sanskrit and Pali, it's the same. It is the same. For example, if you say Anguttara, should be like that, yes. So if you write like this, there's something wrong. Then they say, well, I think maybe this person does not know what he's talking about. it's a bit careless. So if all those, it looks like detail, but if you pay attention to detail, then the impression is already good from the beginning. So this is an important thing. Of course, it's normal what I say, but so many people do forget. And for Sanskrit and Pali, it is much easier than for other languages, than for Chinese, for example. If I see the monk, this is Xuanzang, you know, the monk who went to India and then teaching in Ananda. Mm. You write like this, in one word, you know. You should write like this, because when I see books and publications, and sometimes people write two words, which is not correct, you know. This is just one word. And this is his family name, which means Shakya. You know, in Vietnamese also, Kitch or whatever it is.
Yes.
You know, this is means Shakya. Mm. So all monks and nuns belong to the Shakya family.
You know, the monk nun, Sapiyadita.
Okay, same family. So they have this family name, and actually this is then a given name, you know. It looks like that. This is a Chinese custom. So you should not write in two words. It's one word. I know Malaysian Chinese, very often write in two words, because Malaysian Chinese you have three words always. Because like English, you know, you have a given name, a middle name, and you have a surname, family name. So in order to look like this also in Chinese, they write in three words. You see? This, but actually it's not correct. It should be like this. So the Chinese has much more problems, probably the Vietnamese too. Same problem. If it is one word, you should write it together, not split it up. And for Sanskrit and Pali, it is more or less easy, even though sometimes it is a problem. For instance, how do you write Saddharma Pundarika Sutra? Everything in one word or two words?
Two words.
Or after Saddharma Pundarika
Sutra
hyphen? And then sutra, or Prajnaparamita sutra, two words,
Prajnaparamita sutra.
And then you link or you don't?
I don't
link.
You see, there is a problem in Sanskrit sometimes too. Now, in that case, if there is a problem, one should just follow the same system from beginning to end. If you follow the same system the first time and the last time, always, then that's okay. You should not change. But if you do something, do it all the time. Prajnaparamita. Ashta Sahasrika Prajnaparamita Sutra. Very long word. Well, if you write it in Devanagari, it's one word, yes?
One line.
You do not split in Devanagari. It's just continual writing. So some people also in transcription write one long word. Prajnaparamita is a good word because it's very long, always. But Abhidharma Kosha Bhashya Vyakhya is one word or two, three, or C. Sometimes it's also a problem in Sanskrit. But anyway, what I mean is, pay attention to this. Yes, because it's important. If you do not do this, it looks very careless. And too many people don't pay attention to that. If it's almost all, well, more or less correct, that's okay. You know, people. That's very often the mentality. But you shouldn't do that. Anyway, for this is concerning the Abhi. But the Abhi, now, Abhi has two meanings. You know? What I said yesterday, I said Abhi can mean about. Just about. Concerning. So Abhi Dharma is about the Dharma. You use the Dharma to explain how a path to become Arhat. The Abhidharma has Shastras. Abhidharma has Shastras. What is the difference between Shastra and a Sutra?
Shastra is commentaries.
Yes, a Shastra is secondary.
Yeah,
secondary. The Sutra is the words of the Buddha, and they give you the ideological thread line. Sutra is a thread, you know, in a fabric. Yeah, it's a thread. The sutra. So the sutra is the line which explains you along this line Buddhism. Yes, this is and tantra is this. With sutra and tantra, you have the whole tissue. This is what it actually means. This about, it's about the Dharma, and the Dharma, you find the Dharma in the Sutra. So you use this to explain what to do to develop your mind and to get perfect rest. This is Abhidharma. So Abhidharma is actually a teaching, a Shastra, what to do. It teaches you what to do. It is not something you just learn, because it's nice to know a lot. But it is actually a practical explanation how to act and how to mentally progress. Shastra means teaching. You know, everybody knows some bit, enough Sanskrit and enough time to understand it. So it's about the Dharma. By the way, Dharma, how do you translate Dharma?
My teaching.
The Dharma in Abhidharma is... What is it?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. Yes, doctrine. Doctrine. Yes, doctrine. But it can also have other meanings.
Teaching laws.
That's the same as doctrine.
Nature.
The doctrine is the law. The doctrine is the law, but it can also, it also can mean a quality.
Quality?
Yeah. Quality. Kushala Dharma are good qualities. Kushala Dharma are good qualities, so it can be translated quality. And it can also be translated very often factor. There are many dharmas. What is the relation between one and three? Is that one is the doctrine, and all the elements of the doctrine, all the factors of the doctrine, are also dharmas. You see? So the whole teaching is a dharma. The whole doctrine is called dharma. But all the different elements of the dharma are also called dharma. But we translate in this case, they're all translated as factors, things, factors. A thing is vastu. Vastu. So now, if you translate from Sanskrit, Pali, whatever, you should stick to one word, one translation, always. In English, we have a good tradition already. In other languages, not so stable. But if you see vastu, then you immediately can say element or thing. If you see dharma, you choose one of these. It depends on the context. But you should always use that so that when you only see the English, you can know what the Indian word is. Because if you translate every time in a different way, we cannot guess what the Indian says, the Indian language says. If you always translate the same word by in the same way, then we can immediately know what is meant. For Abhidharma, this is very important, because Abhidharma is so many special words in Abhidharma with special meaning. So one English word, if we see the English word, we should immediately guess, oh, this is this Sanskrit. Or this part, same thing. In English, we can. Problem is, so many scholars think they should change. So there is a bit of complication, but mostly people follow the same way to translate text. So these are the Indian meanings. So the Dharma, the doctrine, and all the different elements of the Dharma. By the way, also in the Vinaya, the rules in the Vinaya are also called Dharma. Yes. They're not doctrines. You could call them maybe laws,
yeah.
or factors. It depends.
Factor.
You have to choose one of these.
Why?
In the Vinaya. The Vinaya is also Dharma. The Dharma Vinaya. These go together. Yes. Ever since the beginning, ever since the first Sangiti, Dharma Vinaya is together, and Dharma means. You find the Dharma in the Sutra, and you find the Vinaya in the Vinaya. Yes? So Dharma, Vinaya, not Abhidharma. Abhidharma is a bit... There is a discussion. Some schools say Abhidharma already there at the beginning, and some say no. Well, I'll say some more about this. But okay, let's go back. And the second meaning is... Shrestha.
Shrestha.
Thank you. Sanskrit. Yes? Means excellent. Means excellent. Shrestha is excellent. Shrestha dharma. Excellent. The second meaning is only found among Buddhists, because it is about the dharma, but the Buddhist believer thinks this is some special meaning, so there is some extra good thing, good feeling about it. So it's called Shrestha. Shrestha dharma. It's a Abhi can have those two meanings. That's why Abhidharma means one of the two. This is like everybody agrees on this. And also in all languages which make translations from India, like Chinese, it's also these two meanings. Same. Yeah, so this is everywhere. Now the origin of Abhidharma, how did Abhidharma begin? There are some discussions about this. There are mainly two traditions explaining how Abhidharma begins. One says it begins with the Dharmakatha. Dharmakatha means discussions about the Dharma, yes? Dharmakatha is a question and an answer. In Dharmakatha you have this, and so you have a question and an answer, and that is, this dialogue is the beginning of long Abhidharma texts, they say. This is one tradition. Dharmakatha. The other tradition says it starts with Matarka. Matarka, Matika in Pali, are lists of dharmas. Lists like you have the two, this, the three, that, the four, that, the five, this, you know, all those lists. As you have them, for example, in Sangiti Sutta for Pali people. In Sanskrit people have Sangiti, there is an Abhidharma text called Sangiti Pariyaya. So in the Sangiti Sutta, in Digha Nikaya, you know, you know about Sangiti Sutta, no? Well, now you do. now you do. Sangiti Sutta is a very old one, and it explains all the dharmas. It gives you lists, all number one and all this number two and all those elements which come in two. And then three, all this, three dharmas, three ratna, three whatever. And then four, five, six, all those lists, as you find them in the sutras, they are explained in the Sangiti Sutta, in the Digha Nikaya, the long one. So you find them there, but they also exist in Sanskrit, and they're very ancient. And some people say these lists are called Matarka. Matarka. So they are the elements listed in the sutras, separately listed in the sutras. Matarka has to do with a mother. Yes? These lists can produce a whole explanation. That's why they're called Matarka. For example, the three whatever. If you know the three whatever, this can produce a very long explanation about those three things. So that's why it's producing, that's why it's called Mother, Matarka. Now, some scholars say it's this, those dialogues, question and answer. Some say originally you have those lists as you have in the Sangiti Sutta, and they are developed into Abhidharma text. Yes. As a good Buddhist, one should say maybe both of them are right. One should not choose between one and two, but maybe this question and answer, this dialogue, is all about Matarkas.
Not practical.
You the lists are, there is someone who asks about the list, and someone explains the list. So it, one and two can go together. They're not necessarily different. And so people have looked for matrika, smatika. There is a tradition, but I don't know, about, not Theravada, of course, but there is a Sarvastivada tradition, and not the Vaibhashika tradition. But I will explain Sarvastivada later, because it looks complicated, but when you know, it's very simple. So I will later explain this, the latest insight, but there is a Sarvastivada tradition. Sarvastivada tradition. Sarvastivada tradition. Sarvastivadas, you find them in North India, in Magadha. You find them in the northwest, in Gandhar. You find them in Mathura. So you find them in the north. In the south, very few. Sometimes they also went to the Bay of Bengal and took a boat in Tamralipti and went south to Andhra, Sri Lanka, and from there they took a boat to Malaysia or to Thailand, and then went all the way along the coast to South China. This is normal route, you know. People, business people follow this, take this road. And where business people go, Buddhism goes. Buddhism follows the Silk Road in Central Asia, you know. So Buddhism follow, the monks follow the caravans with the traders, not only in the Silk Road, but also on the sea. They took a boat in the Bay of Bengal. The main harbor was called Tamralipti. Tamralipti in today in Orissa. Well, I should say Odishi, I think, I suppose. Yes.
Odishi also.
Odishi, now they say, this is another thing, all the old names, officially they change names very often, like Bombay is now Mumbai, Varanasi is now, Benares is now Varanasi, you have all those, Madras is now Chennai, all those names change. When the problems become very big, then people decide to change the name, and no problem anymore. Everybody likes the name change. So this is a way of, making problems go away, but problems don't go away, of course. So this is, Tamralipti is in Orissa today. So you take a boat from there, you know, the Bay of Bengal, the Ganga comes there, you know, and it splits in many, many rivers. Yeah. And one ends up in Tamralipti, and there you take a boat, go south. You can go south, and Sarvastivadins did that. Coming from Patna, you go with the Ganga to the Bay of Bengal. You can also go the other way, of course, but you can also go along the river to the Bay of Bengal and take a boat and go south. This happened, you know, and go eventually going to the south to Andhra, to Sri Lanka, take a boat to Malaysia, to Indonesia. Indonesia for Borobudur is Sarvastivada. It is of course esoteric, but it is Sarvastivada. So Sarvastivadins also traveled, but the most of them you find in North India and also in the Northwest. And they have a tradition, they explain, for example, they have an Ashoka Avadana and Ashoka Sutra, which exists only in Chinese. Ashoka Avadana, which is the story of King Ashoka. And there is also Ashoka Sutra. We don't have any Sanskrit, but we have the Chinese, and we have English translation of the Chinese. So, also French translation of the Chinese. So we can read it, this story of Ashoka. And in this text, which is Sarvastivada, in this text is the first Sangiti is explained. The first Sangiti, I always call it synod. Yes, people say council or whatever, but Sangini. Sangiti means, Sangiti means together, yes?
Yes.
And Giti means chanting.
Chanting.
So Sangiti is a meeting where you chant the Tripitaka together, yes? Where you, the sutras and the Veda, you chant together. So it's a chanting together, that's what it means. Synod also means that. Sin is the sun. Also means together. And the Giti, the chanting, the ode, you know the word odes, ode, a poem called ode, is something you chant. You do not just read a poem like that. In East Asia, when you have a poem, you chant it, you know. You do not just read it. This is a Western habit. You can, you have a book and you read poetry and you don't make a sound. And then you just enjoy it. That's possible. But normally, especially in East Asia and also in India, when you have it, you chant. Yeah. And this is as if it were an ode, you know, some poetry form. So Sangiti and Synod is the same. This is based on Greek, and this is Sanskrit. So Synod is a very good translation because it's the same word. There is a problem with when a synod are all the monks supposed to participate, or can only one group be there? Do, for example, the first synod, all the monks were there. Were they?
Yeah.
Well,
some.
Yes and no.
Some wasn't there.
Some came late, you know, when it was over. Purana came too late, when it was already over. And it was, the chanting was already finished. Kashyapa, Anandit was finished. Purana came with his disciples. He came too late. He was late for the meeting. And he just, he preferred to remember the words of the Buddha just as he had heard them, not as they had just decided how it should be, you know. But no problem. There is no fight or anything. He could do that. It's possible. But some people came late for the first meeting. Yeah. So not really, not all of them. Second meeting, everybody took part or not?
No.
In Vaishali.
Yeah.
In Vaishali, there were 10 points to be discussed. The monks were too lax, handling money and things like that. And in Vaishali, the Lichalis in Vaishali. there was a meeting. And at the end, was there a split or not? Was there a Sangha Bheda or not? Vaishali, did it end in separate schools or was there still unity?
Still unity, but some was, how to say, rusticated from the Sangha. Some.
Oh yes, some were. But the Sangha did not split.
Yeah, that's how I understand.
The Sangha was still unified. In Vaishali, there's still the end of the Vaishali. Well, some were expelled, but anyway, the Sangha did not split up. There was no schism after that. And then the third one, when was that? The
Ashoka
third Sangiti?
Ashoka's time.
No, during Ashoka. But very strange, only Theravada has this. Only Theravada has this Ashoka Sangiti. Others do not. Others have Sangiti, but not this Vibhajyavada, Savastivada kind of thing. The only Theravada has the Ashoka Sangiti tradition, and the others do not. And we know who took part in Patna, in the Ashoka meeting, who took part and who won.
Vibhajyavada.
Vibhajyavada wins, so who loses?
Those who did not accept the Vibhajyavada, they are losing.
Yes, loses. Those who are against Vibhajyavada lose.
Yeah.
But who are they? Do you? They say probably Sarvastivada. probably.
But it's the Sarvastivadas are the part of the Vibhajyavadin, so?
No. No, certainly not. Vibhajyavada, only four groups are Vibhajyavada. Only four groups. Which is Mahishasaka. And split from Mahishasaka is Dharmaguptaka. Those are two. You have Kashyapiya. Kashyapiya is also Vibhajyavada. And the Theras in Sri Lanka. Theravada in Sri Lanka. They are Vibhajyavada. Again. So Mahishasaka. Chinese Hua Di Bo. Mahishasaka. Those who teach the earth. The earth meaning India, I think. You find them all over. And the second ones are the Dhamma Guptaka. The Dharma Guptakas. You find them in the northwest, in Pakistan, Afghanistan. There they are, in the northwest. Because traditionally, Pakistan, Afghanistan, especially the northern part of Afghanistan, is India, traditional Indian area. So those are also Vibhajyavada and Kashyapiya. Kashyapiya, that's all. We know very little about Kashyapiya. Some people say they are the same as Haimavata people. They can be found in the Swat area in northern Pakistan. If it's true, we only have one short text in Chinese, so we don't have anything else. But we know they existed, you know, there are sources saying Kashyapiya are Vibhajyavada. And then the number four is the Tamrapraniya or Tamrashatiya, the Theravada people, yes? In Sri Lanka. They are, so those are Vibhajyavada, all of them. But no Sarvastivada. Sarvastivada opposed. They had new ideas. Vibhajyavada had the traditional ideas, as explained in Anguttara Nikaya, as the old, the tradition, the old Stavira ideas are mentioned by the officials, the Vibhajyavadins, and there were other monks who were opposing this, who had new ideas, and they are Sarvastivadi. So the meeting in Pataliputra, in Patna, was not all monks participated. There are no Mahasanghikas. Yes? Only Saviras joined. No Mahasanghikas there, according to the Theravada tradition. No Mahasanghikas there. So the split between Saviras and Mahasanghika must be older, must have happened
second Buddhist council.
After the second, because the second there was no Sanghabheda, there was no split.
Yeah, but could be within few years.
There was no split after, in Vaishali there was no split. Everybody agreed to stay together. There was no split. And the third council you have in Ashoka's time, only Savira joined. So the split occurred between?
Two and three.
Between the second and the third. There is a Chinese source which says so. It's a Mahasanghika text. And we are not very well informed about Mahasanghikas. You know, we know very much about Staviras, but not so much about Mahasanghikas. But some texts exist in Chinese translation. And there is one text which says that this split, Stavira, Mahasanghika, happened after Vaishali and before Ashoka's council, in between, also in Patna, also in Pataliputra. But just before the Maurya dynasty, you know, Ashoka was a Maurya king, yes?
Yeah.
But he was the second one. But just before that, there were Nanda kings.
Nanda.
I don't know whether you have heard about that.
Yeah, I have.
The Nandas in Pataliputra, that's before the Mauryas. Before the Maurya kings in Pataliputra and Patna, you had the Nanda kings. It happened during the Nanda kings, the split, according to this Chinese text. Of course, I know about Mahadeva. I'm surprised you did not yet mention Mahadeva. You know, you heard about Mahadeva?
Yeah.
Yes.
He had 5 points, and which he did not very much like Arhat. Yes. Arhat can become normal person again, like that. He was decreasing the role of the Arhat. Mahadeva. Now Mahadeva, we don't know who exactly he was, but we know that there is a Mahadeva in Andhra who played a very important role in the splitting up of the Mahasanghikas in Andhra. Get it? So there is a Mahadeva who played an important role in the splitting up of Mahasanghikas in the south, southeast, in Andhra. So we guess this is the Mahadeva which is mentioned in so many texts. This Mahadeva was not in Ashoka's Pataliputra. He was not there. He was not there. So if you have questions, as I said yesterday, immediately tell me. Maybe you read something and you want to check or whatever. What I'm telling you is the latest news. Yes? This is the latest news, the special report. This is the latest news. Because, of course, when you read a book, you must read many books. But when you read a book, when you write a book, it takes a long time.
So, do you think that during the Second Buddhist Council?
Yes, Vaishali, yes.
Yeah. So there was a king called Kalasoka.
Yes, Kalasoka.
So yeah. Do you think that he belongs to the Nanda dynasty?
No. Maybe it's the same Ashoka, but before he was converted.
Oh.
See, there's Ashoka, before Ashoka became the good king, Dharmashoka.
Yeah.
Before he was Dharmashoka, he was a bad one. You know, because he conquered all of India, killed many people,
yeah.
And then he said, well, that's not good. And so he became a good Buddhist. So there is this problem, is this the same person, maybe, or a relative? So it depends on some authors say it's the same one, but during his time when he was not yet converted.
So do you know what is the time period of the Nanda dynasty?
End of the 4th century BC. And Ashoka Maurya is 3rd century. Ashoka Maurya is the 3rd century BC. And just before that, end of the 4th, immediately before end of the 4th, should be the Nandas. The Nanda kings, there are many, all reigning for a very short time. There is one called Mahapadma Nanda. It's probably during his reign that this happened. So there we have a Mahasanghika, Chinese, but Mahasanghika source saying that the first Sangha Bheda, the first split, happened during the Nanda kings, before Ashoka, but still in Pataliputra, still in the capital. So that's why maybe later there were misunderstanding and everything happened under the big Ashoka, you know. That's why some people thought this. This is the latest. As I was saying, when you write a book, it takes some years. It takes some time. But maybe in the meantime, there are already new insights coming up. So when you write a book, book comes out, maybe not the very latest insights, you know, because our knowledge always changes and increases, and people find one person here, find something, person there, find something, and third person puts them together, comes to new insights. So things happen, you know. So if you write a book, that takes some years, and then you publish. But when it is, when it comes out, maybe some knowledge has already changed. Certainly after 10, 15 years. So it's the best way to keep up to date is in journals, periodicals, journal articles. Because a journal appears every year, at least once. So you get the latest immediately in the journal, the new things. And if sometimes somebody makes a big mistake in the journal, someone else will correct next year. So it's also good, you know, don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you make mistake, that's good. Someone else will say this is a mistake and we are wiser, you know. So if you do not do anything, nothing will happen. We will just repeat and say the same thing for hundreds of years. But if someone says big mistake, someone else says big mistake, correct big mistake, we're closer to the truth. So one should really investigate and do things in order to develop our knowledge. But a book is always slower than an article in a journal. What I'm telling you is most recent one. If you go to the library, find a book published 1975 or something like that, that maybe our knowledge has already changed. I know very well that I published a book in 1978, and I did it again this year, and this book is completely different. The insight is different. Sarvastivada explanation is different. So if people can take my book from 1978 and say he writes this and he's this and he's this, and but maybe I don't agree with myself anymore. See, maybe it's one should look at this year's book. Yes. And even that, one should look at the article in a periodical this year. Maybe I already changed my mind, you know. Because I still remember very well. I very often change my mind. Scholars do not like to change their mind, you know. When scholars say something, it's like that until they die. But it's not like, that's not how it works. A scholar can change his mind, and then he should say so. Yeah. Not be afraid to say so, you know. So, for example, Kumara Jiva, you know already, I like him very much. Mm-hmm. Kumara Jiva, in Chinese it's called... Jumo is Kumara Jiva. Yes? Kumara Jiva. Yes? Kumara Jiva. Kumarji. In India, of course, you know this. You do not pronounce this. Hmm?
Yeah.
You do not say Kumarji Va. You say Kumarji. Probably you know this. You do not pronounce this last A. So Kumarji, that's Kumarji. Kumarji, this is Jumo Shi. This is Kumarji. But in Chinese, I used to write in one word, just like Kumara Jiva in one word, but now I do in two words. As if this is the surname, as if this is the family name. And this is the given name. See? And that is the Chinese way, I find. He has a family name, a surname. I know it is the sound of Kumara Jiva, but to East Asian ears, you need a surname and you need a given name. And the surname is Dumont, and the given name is Losher. So people talk about Mr. Losher, yes? And so I changed this. So people can say, well, 5 years ago he writes Dumont Losher in one word, and now he writes two words. What's he doing? Yes, but one should always correct oneself, you know. So when one looks at the work of a scholar, look at the latest, the very latest publication, article, book, whatever, because maybe he changes his mind. I completely changed my mind from 1978. You know, this is, of course, if I don't, nothing ever happens, you know. We should continue. We should find new things. We should understand more where Abhidharma comes from, things like that. So anyway, this Sangiti, this third one, it's this third synod, this third Sangiti exists only in Theravada tradition, and at the split schism already occurred before Ashoka, after Vaishali. We will say more about the spread of Buddhism, and because it goes together with Abhidharma, it is linked. What does Sarvastivada mean? What is the word? Sarvastivada mean? Sarvam
asti.
Sarvam. Sarvam means everything. Sarvam plus asti. And of course, Vada. So they are the ones who proclaim, that's the Vada, that everything exists. The English word is the same as asti. The same. Is and asti is the same. So everything is, problem is, what is everything, you know? And when is it? That is the problem. And we will talk more about this, what everything means, because you have many possibilities. Everything, all the dharmas? Yes. How many? You see? So there are questions. You know, is it maybe 75? Maybe 100? Maybe more? Maybe it's not all the dharmas. Maybe it's all the skandhas. So how many are there? Of course, we know the five ones, but there are, in the doctrine, in the Dharma, you have more than that. Maybe. So what is everything? What does it mean? And asti is, okay, is now, yes, in the yesterday, in the past,
present,
tomorrow,
future.
Yes, when will it be? When is it, you know? So there are different ideas about this. Of course, there is one group of Sarvastivadins in Kashmir who knows, that will tell you. And because they are the so-called orthodoxy, most people say, Sarvastivadins say that. But there are many more who say something else. So anyway, they all say everything exists. They agree on that. And they all have the same Vinaya, because if you do not have the same Vinaya, you're not the same Sarvastivada. In India, the Sangha Veda is based on the Vinaya. If you are disagree about the Vinaya, you have another Nikaya. The Vinaya should not be discussed. This should be like that. If you do not agree, if there is disagreement in Vinaya, then you have Sangha Veda, you have a schism. That's India, only India, including Sri Lanka. but one cannot separate the history of Buddhism in Sri Lanka from the history of Buddhism on the continent, on the mainland of India. Cannot separate. This is culturally, it is a part of the Indian cultural area, Sri Lanka. You cannot cut this loose from the continent, because Buddhism comes from the continent. And it keeps coming from the continent. Buddha Gosa comes from the continent. So you cannot, the developments in Sri Lanka are linked with what happens in South India. The most Theravada commentator, Buddha Gosa, Buddha Datta, Dhammapada, they come from the continent. So you cannot cut loose. Arya Deva is, they say, a Sri Lankan who went to Andhra. He went the other way, you know. So the developments cannot be cut, separated. It's not possible. So when I say India, I include the Sri Lankan area. Of course, it has its own characteristics. I know that, but it's still part. The Indian cultural area goes from northern Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, India, Sri Lanka. That is the Indian cultural area today. Today you have many countries. But in the old days, in the time of the Buddha, it even included south of Nepal. Yes. So the Buddha never had a passport.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't need a visa to go to anywhere. You know, this is a new invention. People just went from one area to the other area, and sometimes there was a border post when the king's power stopped there. It is possible, and then the next king would be there, but. And then you had to report or something like that. It's possible this happened. But in the Indian area, from northern Afghanistan, which is called Bactria in the old days, to including Pakistan, the Indus River. You know, Pakistan has the Indus River. And the name India comes from the Indus River. So the name India comes from a river which is not even in India anymore. Indus River is in Pakistan, but the name India comes from that. So these are new developments, these nations. It is safer and better, more correct to talk about cultural areas going from Afghanistan all the way to Sri Lanka, including Bangladesh, of course. Kamarupa, but also it was bigger than Assam, you know. Kamarupa is bigger than Assam. It was a very large area. And by the way, do you know where Suvarnabhumi is? Yeah, not in Bangkok. Suvarnabhumi. Where did you play? Do you play Suvarnabhumi? Suvarnabhumi means golden area. Yes, yeah. Suvarna is gold. Bhumi is place. The Suvarnabhumi. Now people say. But I tell you, if you take a boat in Tamralipti, in Odisha, you do not go south, but you go along the coast north and Myanmar.
Assam.
Yes, and Myanmar. You come in Myanmar. And there there is a place called Tatton in Myanmar. Someone from Myanmar here?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You know
Romania,
Tatton. You know Tatton.
Yes, we say Romania. Yes, Tatton.
But traditionally, and this is Suvarnabhumi in the written sources.
Myanmar.
Yes, it's a place in Myanmar.
Most of the scholars they say Suvarnabhumi is Rowan Myanmar. But
it's look.
According to the words, there's no. There's no gold. That area, Suvarna.
Well, it's the business people who took a boat and passed by, you know. Maybe they made lots of money there, you know.
Yeah.
So they call it a gold area, you know. The business was good, maybe, you know. There should maybe no gold there, but maybe good business, who knows. it's called the Tatton area, that's Suvarnabhumi. Because there is discussion, where is it, you know. So you have to look at the sources, the Indians.
Also so many other ones. They say, for example, China, they say Sumatra Bumi is China. Sumatra, they some people say Sumatra is Sumatra.
Sumatra is Suvarnadvipa. Sumatra is Suvarnadvipa, it's the Golden Island. Yes. That's Suvarnadvipa becomes Sumatra. Yes. So it's a golden island. So you have, gold is not only in Suvarnabhumi, you have gold in many places. And even, what I mentioned is also Vietnam, you know, old names of Vietnam. In Vietnam you had Amaravati area. Yes, you had very old Indian names also Amaravati. Used for Vietnam, because these are the names given by the Indian travelers who went to South China and passed by the coast of Vietnam all the way. So they gave Indian names to those places.
Amaravati.
There is an Amaravati. You know, you heard about Amaravati in Andhra?
Yeah.
It's a big city, the Mahachaitya, the big Chaitya, 2nd century AD. It's Mahasangika, by the way, during the Shatavahana dynasty and all that. Well, let's not go into make things more complicated. Anyway, the Sarvastivada people, Sarvam Asti, traditionally they have the same Vinaya, everybody, but they have different opinions about what everything means and what is exactly means. You know, they have. We're talking about India, and Indians like to discuss. Indians are very strong with words. You know, very many lawyers are Indians. You know, they can explain very well. And there is this, as I said yesterday, the argumentative Indian is a stereotype. Even you know, talking very much. So the Sarvastivadins. We're always discussing and have different ideas. I think this, I think that, no, I think this, and things like that, you know. But they all had the same Vinaya. So there were one Nikaya, one school. But different groups. And they all agreed that Vibhajavada was not correct. And Vibhajavada agreed that Sarvastivada is not correct. It's very strange, you know, because an argumentative arguing, this, according to me, this does not help perfect rest. a Buddhist should not argue. Yes, a Buddhist should not. You do not disagree if somebody thinks something. If he's okay, all right. Yeah, but But sometimes you have very quarrelsome monks, you know. Nagarjuna was a strong fighter. Aryadeva was even more of a mean person, you know. Nagarjuna, they cut his head, you know. Aryadeva, he was even younger when they killed him. You know. He had many enemies. So he was... This is very so un-Buddhist. I feel, but anyway, it happened. That's the way it works. We cannot do anything about that anymore. Anyway, we were talking about Sangiti and Abhidharma, and all this because of Mataka. There is this Ashoka Vatan. Ashoka Avadana, the history of the story of Ashoka is a Chinese text, and it's a Sarvastivada text. And
when it was written? When it was written?
Well, we know it was translated around 300 AD for the first time. It was translated again later in the 6th century, but the first translation is about 300 AD. So it must be older than that. Avadana literature stories begin in the 2nd century. The oldest Avadana story compilations, anthologies, all those collections of Buddhist stories as independent texts It begins in India in the 2nd century. Before that, you also had Buddhist stories, but in the Vinaya, mainly. The Vinaya is full of stories. The Vinaya is full of stories to illustrate the rules, you know? So you have a rule, and then to make this rule very clear, you have a story. So you have many stories in the Vinaya. But in the 2nd century AD, in the northwest mainly, you had at the beginning of Avadana collections, new ones, separate ones. You had the Divya Avadana, you have Kalpana Manditika, that's another one. You have Avadana stories, Avadana Shataka. You have independence starts 2nd century. And Ashoka Avadana could be around that time, it's not impossible, and in around 300 it was translated. Okay. So this Ashoka Avadana also explains the Sanghitis, also explains Synod. And it explains, so 1 year after the Buddha died in the Gurdrakuta Parvata, there was this Mahakashapa convening everybody. The Dharma should be fixed, because now the Buddha was gone. Okay, now should fix the, what he said, yes. So it happened 1 year, and Ananda said, Evam Maya Shrutam Ekasmin Samaye, and so forth, as I said yesterday. So Ananda said what he remembered, and that's the sutra. He remembered what the Buddha said. As I said yesterday, I don't believe that he remembered everything very correctly. but anyway, I'm sure he remembered the truth. I'm sure about that. I'm sure he remembered the message of the Buddha. I'm sure about that. But I'm not sure he remembered every word for 45 years. That's a big problem. But anyway, Ananda said the sutras, and then Upali was a he was a bar, because monks are not supposed to have hair, so got hair. Sooner or later I will naturally be a monk. Hair falls out, so then you're not, everybody becomes a monk in the end. So there's a But he was a very lowly person, you know. He was a very simple. Today in India he would be called a Dalit, a scheduled class. Today in India he would be that. But he was ordained quite early, so his rank in the Sangha was quite high. Mm-hmm. So he was specialist in what to do, yes, because he was a barber. So he was a specialist in what. So he recited all the dharmas of the Vinaya. But then you have Dharma Vinaya, that's it, right? That's what the Buddha said, Dharma Vinaya. But what about the third, Abhidharma Pitaka? That was a problem. The Buddha did not speak it. Ananda knows very well the Buddha did not explain Abhidharma in those 45 years. Ananda knew this. Everybody knew this. They had known the Buddha. He was just died 1 year ago. So it was very fresh in everybody's memories. He didn't do that. So what the text says about the third Pitaka is that Kashyapa, Mahakashyapa himself, explained Matrikas. Kashyapa explains Matrikas, gives lists of dharmas, summaries for to preach the dharma, gives matrikas. So you have a matrika pitaka. You see? So the oldest, that's what they say, the oldest name for the Abhidharma pitaka is matrika pitaka. How do you translate Pitaka? Storehouse? Storehouse or treasury, or there are many maybe the best way is not to translate and just say pitaka.
Basket.
Anyway, Kashyapa himself in the first Sangiti explained the Mataka Pitaka, explained Matakas. And this is the beginning of Abhidharma. After Kashyapa, all the different teachers, all the different acharyas could use these matakas to teach what to do to become arhat. They all could use these matakas to explain a way to advance mentally, to arhatva, to advance. So see, so this is what the old Sarvastivada, the oldest Sarvastivada tradition says. So no Abhidharma, it was not called Abhidharma, it was called Mataka. We know this, maybe we should have a break. Yes? Maybe, okay, we have a pause now. Yes, we have some people.